Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship.
Yeah, we're so glad you guys are here. Thanks for hopping online with us. We're beyond excited for the chance to hang out and worship with you.
So go ahead, get comfy, invite your crew, hit the share button, and don't forget to throw your city in the chat. We rep in Dallas over here, but we want y'all to represent too.
Now we've got a good service plan for you guys, so let's get into it.
Enjoy service.
Enjoy.
More than anything. Yeah. Let's go. Come on, clap. Yeah. Now this song is called a response, so I'ma sing it, then y'all gonna sing it. Y'all do that with me this morning. Yeah. We say, Lord, I love you. Say, Lord, I love you.
Lord,
yeah. Say, Lord. Because he first loved us. And so we're going to declare real loud at the top of our lungs that, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I praise you. Can we sing that? All right, let's do it. Yeah. Say, I love
you.
I love you. Say, I love you. Declare it. Say,
more than anything.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. Say, more than anything, I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you. Yeah, say,
more than anything,
I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you. Yeah, say,
more than anything,
I love you. Come on, somebody declare it. I love you. Say it like you mean it. I love you. Come on, say
more than anything.
I praise you.
I praise you.
I praise you. Let's go. Say
more than anything.
I love you, Jesus.
I worship
and adore. Y'all know that song.
Just want to tell you.
Say, Lord, I love. At the top of your lungs, declare that you love the Lord. Say,
I love you, Jesus.
Say,
I love you, Jesus.
I worship
and
just want to tell you.
Hey,
say, Lord, I love.
Yeah,
come on. Yeah, we're gonna sing it one more time. Say,
I love you, Jesus.
Worship and adore.
I
just come. everybody clap. Hey. Say more than anything. That means more than anything in this world. I love him more than money, more than clothes. Yeah. Say more than anything. Yeah, come on. Last time. Real loud. Say more than anything.
More than anything.
Come on, if you love him, give him praise in the room. Come on, you can clap your hands. You can shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can say, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. If it's your testimony that you love him more than anything, can you sing that? Say, y'all heard me while we were singing. I said, we love you more than anything because you first loved us. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that chose to love you? Despite your flaws, despite your mistakes, despite whatever it is, he loves you. And he's always there for you, no matter the situation. We're in this series about waiting. And I know for myself, I'm just glad I serve a God that even while I'm waiting, even when it feels like I don't have what I need, I have what I need because God provides all of my needs. So while I'm waiting for something, I might feel discouraged, but I just got to remind myself of the God I serve. Right? I want to share a scripture with y'all. It comes out of the book of Psalms, chapter 31. It says this: be strong and let your heart be courageous. All you who wait on the Lord. I'm going to say that one more time. Be strong and let your heart be courageous. All you who wait on the Lord. It's so easy sometimes to feel like that God has forgotten about us. But let me tell you, we serve a God that is faithful. I already said he's always there for you no matter what. Even when you feel alone, he's there. Even when you feel lonely, you have a friend. We have to stand courageous in that and understand that. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because I may not understand why I'm waiting. I may not understand why I feel like things keep going left when I want it to go right. But I know that I'm not alone. So stand strong and courageous. The book of Isaiah says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not get faint. And when I hear that, I think about the passage in James that said, blessed is the man that endures. In other words, while I'm waiting, my strength is being renewed. My faith is being tested. I can stand strong because God is doing something in me to remind me of who he is. And so we're finna sing this next song that says, Lord, I'm gonna wait on you. Because he knows what's best. Do y'all believe that? He knows what's best. He formed your inner being. He knows everything. And so we're gonna sing this song that says, I'm gonna wait on you. I know you've ordered every step. Yes, you are the author. And there's no predicting what is next. But you hold the future. And all the questions, they come second to the one I know is true. You've always been true. So I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you. I've tasted your goodness. I've trusted your promise. know you've ordered every step. Yes, you are the author, and there's no predicting what is next. But you hold the future, and all the questions, they come second to the one I know is true. Yeah, you've always been true. Say, so I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you. Come on, let's get up. Tasted your goodness, trusted your promise. I'm gonna wait on you. Say, I'm gonna wait on you. I've tasted your goodness, trusted your promise. I'm gonna wait. Say, I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you. I've tasted your goodness. Say, trusting your promise, I'm gonna wait. Lift it up. I'm gonna wait on you. I've tasted your goodness. Trusting your promise. Somebody needs this as encouragement. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Say, I'm trusting your goodness. trust in your promise. So we're going to sing this one more time. So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. So wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. So wait, I'll even say it like this. So trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He will renew your strength. So trust, so trust. I say, ooh, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. He will renew your strength. So trust. Father, we thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that you're always there. We thank you that even while we're waiting, God, you're working. Ooh, that's good. While we're waiting, you're working. And we're so grateful for the expectation of what's to come, Lord. Because we know that you're faithful. We know you're a promise keeper. We know that whatever you've done before, you can do it again. So, Lord, we take joy in that. And we say thank you in advance. No matter what it feels like right now, no matter what it looks like right now, God, we say thank you in advance. Because you're a good, good Father. And you will never leave us or forsake us. And so, Lord, we say thank you. Y'all, as you go to your seats, can you greet the people around you and say, it's good to see you. Good morning. Take about a minute to greet those around you.
While Mother's Day is a very special day for those who still have their mothers with them, it can also be a discouraging reminder of the absence for those who've lost their mother. But we need to use this time, one, to reflect with gratitude to God for all that our mothers have done for us, even though they may not be here, but also take advantage of the opportunity to be a blessing to a mother who is still here, especially one who needs extra encouragement, support, and love, because there's some mothers who still find themselves far too often alone. So let's not wallow in sorrow for our loss, although we may feel it, but let's use that emotion as servants to bless someone who needs the touch from either their own children or from someone who will treat them like a mother because of how valuable we see that they are. Be an encourager to a mother today, because then that will show gratitude for the mother that you are blessed with having.
Good morning. So good to see you all. Happy Mother's Day. I want to take this time to acknowledge my wife, who is the mother of my son. So grateful for her. And I don't see any other mothers in the room, but of course, just because our mothers are across the street or doing whatever, we certainly want to acknowledge this day, even if it's just us in the room as teenagers. And I want to pray concerning our mothers. And there's four things that I want to mention. I want to pray for the mothers who are living, the ones who dropped us off today, and that we have the privilege and opportunity, while God has still given us, to appreciate and love our mothers. But we also want to be sensitive, as Pastor Evans mentioned, to those in the room who no longer have their mothers, for whatever reason that may be. And so our thoughts and prayers will be with you also. And I want to pray, too, for the mothers who are alive but are hurting. I said one time that you want to know something about your parents. They're human, which means they hurt, too. Some of them are doing it by themselves, and it becomes extremely difficult. Sometimes they have bad days, too. So I want to pray for the mothers who are hurting, and also for the mothers who some of you will be, Lord willing, that God would first give you the ability to conceive. We don't take that for granted. But that God would also empower you by His Holy Spirit to be a kingdom mother, a mother of faith. And we're going to talk about a mother of faith today as we continue in our series. So with every head bowed and eye closed as we pray, Father, we give you thanks on this Mother's Day. We celebrate, we acknowledge, we appreciate the mothers that you have given, that you have gifted to us. Give us wisdom on how we can show appreciation, not just for this, not just for this day, but for every day. That our life may be a thank you to our parents. And the best way that we can thank them is by living for you and honoring you. I pray for every student in this room who has lost their mother. This day can be extremely difficult for them as they remember the memories, the good times and sometimes, yes, the bad times. God, I pray right now that you would give them strength for this day, just for today. Help them get through this day. And to appreciate and be grateful for the memories that they did have the opportunity of creating with their mothers. Be with them in a special way. We pray for the mothers of our teenagers who are hurting, those mothers who are dealing with depression, those mothers who are dealing with physical ailments. Maybe it's cancer, maybe it's a disease or sickness. Maybe it's a financial need, emotional need. Maybe it's a spiritual need. Maybe they need to be replenished so that they can continue to pour out to their children. God, we pray for those mothers that you would meet their needs. And we pray for those who in this room who will be mothers, that you would give them that desire and that you would continue to shape and mold their lives so that they're not just a mother, but a godly mother. That those who become mothers in this room will be women of faith who pass the baton of faith to the next generation. So we pray for every woman in this room, whether they become a physical mother or a spiritual mother, that they would make disciples, because that is what our Lord commissioned all of us to do. So we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the message that will be preached today. May you give me grace to speak and give our students clarity of understanding so that they can apply the message to themselves and to their own lives and bear fruit and therefore give you glory and honor that you deserve and you deserve alone as we continue to wait on you, knowing that you're worth the wait because you are trustworthy. We love you, Father. Thank you for your Son and thank you for your Spirit. Be with us in this time. In Christ's name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen. There's a popular phrase today. I don't know when it started. I know it's recent. But it starts like this, and I want us all to finish it. I know y'all know. It goes like this: let him cook. Okay, let's say it all together. I'm going to say let him, and I want you all to say cook. Okay, let him cook. Let's do it one more time. Let him cook. Let him cook. Can anybody tell me what does that phrase mean? What does somebody mean when they say let him cook or let her cook? What does that mean? Somebody just shout it out. Shout it out. Can't hear you. Say it louder. How many of y'all on TikTok? How many of y'all got phones and on social media? I know y'all know what let him cook means. Somebody tell me what let him cook means. Shout it out. I can't hear you. Do you know Mr. Kelvin? You have no clue. Have you ever heard that phrase? You heard it, but you don't know what it means. It's slang, okay? Somebody on this side, tell me what let him cook means. Or what you think it means, if you could guess. No, it's not let him finish, it's let him cook. Like there's a sound that says, let him cook. Let him finish? Is that what it means? Let him finish? Let him finish? What else would you say? How else would you put that phrase? Tell us, Michaela. Okay, good. So in other words, they're doing something really good and you don't want to do anything to hinder that. Just let them continue to do what they're good at. Okay? And so when it comes to God, this might be a little corny, but we have to let him cook. God is the only true God. He's the only one. Is good at being God. And we have to let him cook. That is, let him do and be who he is. But when we let God cook, that can often take some time for him to do whatever we have prayed for him to do, whatever we have asked for him to do. It will often take some time, and we will end up having to wait on him to cook it up. And that can be frustrating, as we mentioned last week, because God operates on a different kind of time frame than we do. It takes longer than we think it should take. But for him, it's right on time. And so we have to wait on God. And that's what we've been talking about all month. It's worth the wait. Psalm 27, verse 14 is our monthly verse. I want to encourage you to memorize it. He says, wait on the Lord, yes. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And the question that we have been exploring and that we're going to explore for today is, does anybody remember the question that we raised last week? What should we do while we wait? What should we do while we're waiting on God to do whatever we are desiring or asking him to do, what should we be doing in the meantime so that we're not just waiting, but we are waiting well? What should we do? And last week, the answer to that question was to grow while you wait. Based on 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And we talked about how God wants all of us as Christians to grow spiritually. And that way, you have the character to handle whatever you're asking God for. Perhaps some of you in here want to get married, and you are waiting for God to provide a wife or spouse or a husband. Well, what can you be doing in the meantime? You can be growing spiritually to become the man or the woman or the husband or the wife that would be suitable for that mate. You can be growing while you wait. And that's what we talked about last week. And so we want to raise that question again. And the answer for today is to worship while you wait. Worship while you wait. And so I want to definitely encourage you guys, remind you all to take advantage of the sermon notes that we printed for you guys. They have fill in the blanks. And so fill those in and take those home. And Monday morning, make sure you just briefly look over it throughout the week, starting on Monday, so that you are refreshing your mind. And so the title of this message is Grow While You Wait, and that's the main idea. The title of this message is Worship While You Wait, and the main idea is that you and I would worship while we wait on God. While we're waiting on God to do whatever we're praying, asking him to do, we're going to worship and give him the praise that he deserves alone. We are told in 1 Samuel about a woman by the name of Hannah. How many of you have heard of the story of Hannah? It's a familiar story of the Bible. In fact, since I didn't see a lot of hands, let's go to 1 Samuel, which is in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel is after the book of Judges and Ruth, right before 1 and 2 Kings. So everyone should have a Bible. If you don't, there are plenty of Bibles up here in the front. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Just raise your hand if you're sitting somewhere, you don't have a Bible, we can get you one. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'll give you a moment to find it. Once you find it, check your neighbor. They might need help finding it. Help them find it. And the more you read your Bible, the more you interact with it here and at home, especially at home, Monday through Saturday, the more familiar you will be. And when a preacher or anybody mentions a book of the Bible, you'll be able to quickly get there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to walk through this story. In fact, I'll read the first couple of verses. It says in verse 1, "Now there was a certain man from Ramathim, Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from city yearly to yearly to worship, to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in a place called Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there." Verse 4, "When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat." Verse 8, "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?'" And we'll stop there. The first observation of this text is that Hannah has a problem. Hannah has a problem. If you are a student, you will inevitably have to take what? Tests, okay? Every student has to take tests. It is something you cannot avoid, no matter how, no matter where you come from, no matter what kind of student you are. Every student will have to take tests. They're inevitable. As long as you're a student, you will take tests. In this life, because of the fall in Genesis 3 and our rebellion and rejection of God, this world is full of problems. And they are inevitable. Job 5 verse 7 says that man was born to trouble. Man was born to trouble. And so in this life, it is inevitable that you and many of you have already, as teenagers, faced a lot of difficult problems. Can I get an amen? Have any of you faced any problems in here? Okay, a few of you have faced problems. You know that this life is full of problems and you cannot avoid it. Doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you are poor, doesn't matter if you come from a nice family background or a terrible family background, no matter what it is, you and I are going to face problems, and you never grow out of that. In fact, oftentimes, the older you get, the more difficult the problems get. You will face problems, and like a variety pack of candy, problems come in all kinds of shapes and forms and different sizes. I would say that there are probably as many problems as there are people in this room, people in this world. Hannah had a problem. And her problem was first physical. Why was it physical? Why do I say that? Somebody tell me. Shout it out. She couldn't have children. And this is very significant in this culture because children, especially for women, was their safety and security. See, what we do today is, I'm trying to challenge myself on this, but we send our mothers and fathers, we grow old, we get out the house, and we send our mothers and fathers to homes to be taken care of. Instead of sacrificing, perhaps there are circumstances where we have to do that, but for the most part, I believe that God has created us to take care of our parents. And that is what sons and daughters did in the Bible. They took care of their parents. That's why Ruth was willing to forsake her people to take care of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And so children were security. They were safety. They needed children. And it carried honor. And to not be able to conceive a child, it was devastating. And so I want to make sure, if I'm doing a good job, that you feel this text. That you don't just read the Bible without any emotion. The Bible is full of emotion and pain and anger. God does not ignore that in His Word. It is acknowledged. That your emotions are, yes, a part of you. Yes, we shouldn't depend on them, but yes, they are a part of us. Even God in Scripture expresses emotion. Her problem was first physical, and we're told why. It says the Lord closed her womb. And so, if the Lord has closed her womb, then only God can open it. And so this is a problem that is beyond what any human can fix. And Hannah not only has this physical problem, but she has this relational problem. Why do I say that? Because Peninnah, which we assume was the second wife, okay, so Elkanah married Hannah. She could not have children. It's not that he was marrying her. This obviously deviates from the original design. God created man and woman, one man, one woman, to be in covenant relationship. And so obviously this is a deviation from that original design. This is not God necessarily approving of it. Okay, you'll see a lot of things in Scripture that God does not approve. For example, there's murder in the Bible. There's rape in the Bible. There are all kinds of horrible things. It's not because God approves of it. In fact, He often exposes it. That's why I like how real the Bible is. It's in touch with reality. It's not a fairy tale. It's real stories, real people at a real time, at a real places in history. And so Elkanah, he had this first wife, but she could bear no children. And so that is actually the reason why he took another wife, so that he could have children and he could have somebody who could take over his land and so forth and could help take care of him. And so he had this other wife, Peninnah, and we're told in verse 6 that she would provoke her bitterly. That she would remind Hannah, as if she didn't already know, that you can't have any children. She reminded her of the pain that she was experiencing over and over again, because not only was this problem relational, but it was also revolving. Because the verse 7 says that it happened year after year, that Hannah had this issue and she had someone contributing to this issue who was a part of her family. And if truth be told, we have even family members who also contribute to the problems that we have in our lives. Peninnah was one of those for Hannah. And Hannah's hurting. because of this physical problem, this relational problem that is revolving, and it is also an emotional problem. Because if I can read some of the words to paint the picture in this text, it says that she was bitter of soul in verse 10, that she was greatly distressed, that she wept bitterly, that she was a woman who was oppressed in spirit, that she was a woman who was afflicted. This is painful for her. And you may not be able to relate to the same kind of pain, but at some point in life, you are going to experience pain. Just be human. Just keep living, and you will encounter painful problems that will be emotional, that will frustrate you, that will anger you, that will hurt you, that will bring you to tears like it brought Hannah. Hannah is dealing with this problem. And it's not only physical and emotional and relational and revolving, but it also impacted her appetite. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you can relate, but there's been times in my life where I've been so depressed, so hurt, that I did not even want to eat. Is there anybody who has been there before? That you've been so frustrated with life, maybe you've been frustrated at God and you don't even want to eat because the pain is just so, it's so difficult. This is Hannah. This is Hannah's circumstance. This is her situation. She is dealing with this problem. What is going on around here? Is that upstairs? Okay, they doing a skit upstairs. We good. Had to make sure. Hannah has this problem, and it is physical, it is emotional, it is relational, and it's revolving, and it affected her eating. But the question is, what did Hannah do with her problem? What did she do in light of the situation that she was in? How did she respond? Where does she go with this problem? Because the temptation for many of us, for example, was to run to porn because of another problem I was having. And that's often the case with people who do struggle with porn. Porn is not necessarily the issue. That addiction to drugs is not necessarily the issue. It is a part of the problem, but we run to stuff because we're trying to deal with something that's deeper. We're dealing with something that really hurts us, and so we're trying to ease the pain. And so these drugs and these things become escapisms to escape the problem that we're dealing with. But what does Hannah do? Let me read the following verses. Beginning in verse 9, it says, "Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh." Okay, so they took a trip. They took a trip to worship God at the tabernacle in Shiloh. Okay, so they took it's about 15 miles from Jerusalem north. They took this trip up there to Shiloh, and they're going to worship because God wanted them to come to this place of worship in these times. They have come on this trip, and Hannah has this problem. And it says, "Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple," aka the tabernacle of the Lord. "And she, greatly distressed or bitter of soul, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly." So what did Hannah do with her problem? She ran to God. She brought her problem to the God who could address it and fix it. Let me ask you a question. When you have something wrong with your teeth, who do you go to? Go to the dentist. Because you believe and have faith that the dentist is able to address your problem and fix it. When you have something wrong with your physical body, where do you go to? You go to the doctor. Because you believe and have faith that the doctor can address your problem and fix it, whatever's going on with your body. What do you do when you have something wrong with your mental? Go to a psychiatrist because you believe and have faith, or somebody does in your life, that person can help you with your issue? Where do you go for some of y'all that's driving now? When you have something wrong with your car, you go to a mechanic because you believe that the mechanic has the resources, the knowledge, and the ability to address the problem that you have with your car. Try to stay focused as best as you can. Hannah goes to the God who could fix it. Could. She doesn't know if he will, but she knows he can. Notice her prayer here in verse 11. It says she made a vow. We'll talk about that in a moment. And said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Hannah doesn't know what God will do, and neither do you and I. But Hannah knows what God can do. What is the difference between can and will? Some of y'all teachers get on your nerves and say, can you go to the restroom? I had teachers going up to, you know, because they wanted me to ask will. Because will has to do with permission. Can has to do with ability. Surely all of us have the ability to go to the restroom. But the teacher is asking you, will you do? She's wanting you to ask for permission. And so what Hannah is recognizing is that God has the ability to address it. The problem that she's fixing. And we talked about this in our Fuse class. If you remember Matthew 8, the story of the leper who said in Matthew chapter 8, 1-4, he came to Jesus and he said, if you will, you can make me whole. The leper recognized that Jesus had the ability. He had faith that Jesus could fix it, but he was unsure if he will. And I can't promise you that God is going to solve every problem in your life the way and the timing that you desire for it to be solved. But what I can say is that my God can. And therefore, you can have hope. And that's what can get you through any problem, any situation that you're dealing with is hope. Hannah has hope. She's facing this devastating problem, but Hannah has hope that God can. She doesn't know if he will. She brings her problem to the God who could fix it. And another observation I want you to note about this prayer is that it is full of pain. She doesn't leave her pain and come to God and say, oh, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy King. No. No, this is real. This is raw. And that's why I want to invite you to read the Psalms when you're hurting. And when you're not hurting, so that you can put some of those psalms in your back pocket for the day you are hurting, because you are going to hurt. Some of you are not going to have a very pretty and beautiful life. That's a lie if I tell you, if I promise you that. Amen, son. Amen. Let me give you a few examples in the Psalms really quick of people who were in pain, and they brought that pain to the God who could help them deal with that pain. Psalm 3, verse 4 says this. He says in verse 4, I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Psalm 5, verse 1-2. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. Psalm 6, verse 2-3. He says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. He is so in pain that his bones are hurting. And my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, here's the question. How long? See, the people of God in the Bible and throughout history have been frustrated with God with how long he's taking. And you're going to deal with that too at some point in your life. Notice verse 6. He says, I am weary with my sighing every night. I make my bed swim. My eye has wasted away. I dissolve my couch with my tears. He's crying so much that his couch is full of tears. He says, my eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Constantly, over and over again, the psalmist, they are pouring out their heart to the God who hears. And so if you're in this room today and you are dealing with pain, I want to invite you to do what Hannah is doing here, to do what Psalm 62 verse 8 says, to trust in him at all times, yes, even the difficult times, and to pour out your heart before the Lord. He wants to hear you. And Hannah does that. And we're told that she made a vow. Yeah, that's interesting. So Hannah prays, and she's very specific in her prayer. And she asks God, give me a son. Not just any child, but I want a son. And she says, God, in other words, if you give me this son, I'll give him back to you. So the answer to her problem would benefit the kingdom of God. See that? The answer to her problem, who would be Samuel, the prophet, priest, judge, who would transition and be a great leader in Israel, who would anoint King Saul and anoint King David, who from who the Messiah came. The answer to her prayer would benefit God. So here's one thing I want you to know. Here's one thing I want you to see. Is that whenever you're praying for God to answer your prayers or for anything, think about how not only you will benefit, but how God will benefit and his kingdom will benefit from answering your prayers. How will God benefit it if he gives you what you want? What do you want from God? How? And start thinking about, okay, God, if you give me this, this is what happened for you. It's not that you are manipulating God, but you are showing that, God, I don't want this just for me, but I want it for you too, God. And Hannah recognizes that. She makes this vow. She says, God, you give me this son, I'm going to give him back to you all the days of his life. All the days of his life. And that boy would grow up and be a great leader in Israel. Hannah had a problem. She brought that problem to the God who could fix it, and she brought it with pain and all the tears. And we're told something interesting, because up until this now, and I've been talking, but just to paint the picture, she wasn't audibly speaking. Because you can read this on your own. I don't have time to read the rest of the story. But there was the man Eli who was sitting at the doorpost. And to paint the picture, she was doing this. And Eli, he's sitting over here like, probably never seen this before, and apparently there's been some mess going on. You think about the times of the judges, you know, Israel has not been doing too well. It's very wicked. The people of God were engaged in very wicked things. You read the end of Judges, probably the most horrific story you will ever read in the Bible, about a Levite concubine who was raped, cut up in 12 pieces, and sent throughout the city of Israel. God doesn't approve it. He exposes it. This is a wicked time. And so Eli's like, she might be drunk. He thinks she's drunk. And so he says, put away your wine from you. What are you doing in the temple drunk? And Hannah says, no, my Lord, I'm just a woman oppressed in spirit. I've got this problem. I'm in pain and I'm just pouring out my heart before God. And she does just that. She submits her prayer to God. And now Hannah is going to have to wait. Hannah's going to have to wait. How many of you have jobs? Have jobs? What did you have to do to get the job? You had to submit a what? An application. Okay? And then at some point, you had to wait. You had to wait for them to give you the call or the email or the text that you've been hired. So there was a gap between submitting the application and finding out that you got the job. How many of you, this is for my seniors, you know this. In order to get into college, well, everybody should know this. What do you have to submit? You got to submit an application if you want to go to college, or else you ain't going to college. You have to submit an application, and guess what? There is a time gap between submitting the application for the college and receiving that acceptance letter that you've been accepted into the college. Hannah has submitted her prayer request to God, and now she has to wait. But what does Hannah do while she's waiting? What does Hannah do while she's waiting on God to answer her problem, to solve her issue, to respond to her prayer, to give her what she has asked for? What does Hannah do? Verse 18 says, "So the woman went her way after talking to Eli. Her face was no longer sad. Then they arose early in the morning, the next morning, and did what? Worship. That's all I come to tell you today. That Hannah recognized that there would be a gap between her submitting her prayer request before God and hearing back from God. And the time in between, Hannah got busy worshiping God. And so that's my challenge to you, and my challenge to myself is while we're waiting on God to do whatever He's going to do for us, that we would be worshiping in the meantime. Recognizing and believing that God hears and answers our prayers. And you want to know what? Hannah not only worshiped God while she waited, but after she waited and she got the son, she went and continued to worship, because we have her song, her prayer in 1 Samuel 2. And guess what? God not only gave her a son, he gave her three more and two daughters. Because God is just that gracious that sometimes He'll even answer your prayer with what you ask for, and He'll give you exceedingly above and beyond, because God is so gracious and merciful. And so my encouragement, my challenge to you young people, is to worship God while you wait, to give Him glory while you wait, to praise Him while you wait, to believe in Him while you wait, to sing to Him while you wait. And so that you can know what that looks like, I want you all to stand to your feet. Because we're going to practice this, worshiping while we wait on God. Father, we thank You so much that You are trustworthy. And that You are able. Oh, I love the song that says You are more than able. And because You're more than able to fix any issue that we're dealing with, we can have hope. And so we bring our problems to You today. We lay them at Your feet. And we're going to worship You while we wait on You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
So wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. He says this: they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle, and they'll soar. They shall walk and not get weary. They shall run and not faint. That's what happens when you wait. Yeah. Can we sing that together? Say, they that
wait
on the Lord,
shall renew
their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle, and they'll soar. They shall walk and not get weary.
Man, that was some good word right there.
For real, I know I'm ready to put it into action in my life, and we want to encourage you to do the same.
Yeah, there were so many gems in that message. So take what stood out to you and see how you can apply it in your life this week.
Now, Blake, can you pray for us?
Yes. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for everyone who is viewing online with us. I pray that we have a great week at school and that we just push through before the summer. I thank you for the reminder that our confidence lies in you and not those around us, Lord. And Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you log on next week, 11 a.m. Central.
We can't wait to see you next time. Till then, have a great week.
God bless.
God bless.